great privilege this morning to hear the Word of God from a fellow pastor within our denomination. If you're not aware, we're part of what's called the Presbyterian Church in America. And Duke is coming from D.C., so we hit the other coast here with our pastor who will be preaching, who's from Soaring Oaks Presbyterian Church in Elk Grove, California, right? Which is, I think, a little bit outside of Sacramento. Okay, so living the California life from Philadelphia, right? West Philadelphia. So, yeah, Lance is here. And Sharon, can you stand up a minute, Sharon? I know, yeah, you love that, don't you? But they are husband and wife, married like 30 years now? 32 years. All right. Yes. So they'll be coming back to lead that whole section on marriage in a few weeks. So, no, we're so thankful for you and for your friendship. I had an opportunity to be part of a New City Fellowship network retreat with them. Stephanie and I did some years ago. They are faithful servants of God. You know, sometimes it's just encouraging to know that as we seek the kingdom of God, as we seek to live out the good news of the kingdom, which is the gospel of God's grace, but also the call to live as his ambassadors, that we're not in this alone, right? We are part of God's people, of course, in D.C. and in California, but literally around the world. And so I'm so, when this conference happens, it's just so encouraging to walk with many others from around this country and even from around the world. So I want to ask you to come up in just a minute. Actually, come up now, but I've asked Mildred to come up and pray for you and to pray for us as we begin to hear from God's word. So let's welcome Lance Lewis this morning. Thank you for being here. All right, and Mildred's going to pray for us, so please lead us.
Let us bow our heads. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for our brother, our father, O God, your messenger that you have brought here this morning to preach your word, O God. We have come before you, Father God. Fill our hearts, our cups with your word this morning, Father, as we will leave from here, O Father God, that your words will go with us, that it will soften our hearts, O God. Continue to lead us, Father God. Speak through your son this morning, that he will talk to your children, oh God, that your word alone, Father God, will be our way that we will live, that it will lead us through, Father God. Thank you this morning. Thank you for our pastor and his family that you have brought them here this morning to preach to us. Let your will be done right now. Let your will be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that was shed on the Calvary for us, oh, Father. Anoint us right now, Father God. We all are your children. This morning, Father God, we came before you with our hearts and our cups empty this morning. I pray as we are leaving, oh, God, that you will fill us with joy and happiness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.
All right. Well, praise the Lord, saints. It is really good for us to be here together. I am so thankful to be here at New City South. It's one of those PCA churches that you hear a lot about if you're in either the East Coast, South, or West Coast, and you're just thankful for the ministry that you all have had through the years. I'm so thankful for my friend and brother Kevin, and just the man of God he is, just a testimony he has been to us and our movement and our witness. When we talk about what God is doing, not only in our denomination, but in the church generally, in our country and in our society, New City is one of those movements where he is clearly at work. And so I just thank God for that. I thank God that I'm here before you this morning. I want to give you greetings from your brothers and sisters on the left coast, where it's 100 degrees, but God is still good. Soaring Oaks Presbyterian Church, a small family fellowship that just loves the Lord, and loves his people and loves his word, and it's just good for us to be together. I also want to be thankful that my son is here, Charles Lewis. He's sitting next to his mama, and I'm just grateful that my son could be able to make it out to LDR. And Zanique, friend of ours from St. Louis originally, came and lived in Philly for a while. Just a blessed young woman. Just glad she's here. And I'm thankful there's a clock back there. So you're going to be thankful that there's a clock back there, too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. But if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 9 and 10, dear ones. And we're just going to take a bit of time to go into the Word of God before the Lord brings us into His holy communion together. Ephesians chapter 1. Just verses 9 and 10, dear ones, this is God's word. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. My theme is reclaiming my time. Now, some of you may have heard that phrase uttered by the Honorable Congresswoman Maxine Waters as she at one point was questioning and trying to get some salient information from one of our government officials. And apparently he seemed to approach the whole process with a kind of tactic that said, well, if I just stall enough, I know that by the rules of the House of Representatives, her time will run out and then I can just move on. And then she kept having to interrupt him and basically saying, you just need to answer the question. And I'm reclaiming my time because I don't want my time to run out, because I only get a certain amount of it to do my business as a congresswoman. I'm going to do it here, and I'm going to reclaim my time from you because you are wasting it, you're interrupting it, you are basically just focusing on yourself and trying to get out of it. What I want to link that to, dear ones, is this. The living God is in the process of reclaiming his time. He is in the process, even now, of bringing all things together under one head, Jesus Christ. He is in the process, even now, of remaking his world, of remaking his universe, of remaking his humanity into exactly what he intended it to be, and that will happen. And so what I want to take some time with you this morning is simply to encourage you to continue to do exactly what God has called you to do here in St. Louis. To simply just give a few words of motivational encouragement by the scriptures to say that what you are doing matters. That what you are doing counts. That what you are doing has meaning. That what you're doing is right in line with what our Father is doing to bring glory to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, thank you. I need that amen. Go ahead. I appreciate that. Now, Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. And we believe, I mean, some of us believe, it's not simply addressed to the church of Ephesus, but actually to that group of churches that was started out of the mission to Ephesus that's recorded in Acts chapter 19. And as Paul was moved along by the Spirit to write this letter, it doesn't even seem that there's one particular problem that he's addressing. Moreover, it just seems that it's a letter whose theme really is the purpose and the glory of God as lived out through his church in our connection with Jesus Christ. Paul begins by revealing to us and enumerating the many blessings we have in and connected to Jesus. And if you go to a Reformed Presbyterian church, you start reading verse 3, 4, and 5, 6, and 7, and you start getting happy. He says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us as sons according to his great mercy. And he just rolls on down the blessings. And that is the spiritual benefits we get being connected with Christ that are absolutely necessary for our life in the here and now. By the time he gets to verse 9 and 10, though, we can sometimes sort of fade off with that. Because it's not in the wheelhouse of Reformed teaching. But the other blessing we get is the blessing of knowing that God's will be done. Let me encourage you to say that those of us who are in Christ through his, through belief in his sinless life, his sacrificial death, his bodily resurrection, we are in the process of doing exactly what God has called us to do. And that is working together with him, because he is doing it, to bring his creation to the very conclusion for which he made it in the first place. That conclusion is to gather all of his creation into one harmonious unit under the direct lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, God, Paul says, God is doing this because he wants to do it. He delights in doing this. To make it even a little bit more personal for us, the living God caused you to be conceived, brought into this world, so that he could take great joy in bringing your life into harmony through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Added to that is that the living God gets great joy by bringing you into harmonious fellowship with his people in Jesus Christ. Moreover, this new universe that he is remaking will work exactly as he intends it to work, so that every single solitary square millimeter of creation will be in complete harmony with his will. As I said before, God's will be done. Now, if that weren't enough, it's not only God's delight to bring everything into a harmonious relationship with Jesus Christ, but it is his joy to have his people participate in that fully, and then to give us a reward for doing so, even though he doesn't need it. Let me see if I can. I need some help. So let me. Okay. This is the best thing I could think of. I don't want to offend nobody. I love all y'all. So some of us are going to watch some football in the fall. Don't get mad. You know.
Go Cards.
Go Cards. Okay, so one day I came from church and my dear loving wife said, you need to go to the store to get some things. And I'm like, okay, but you know how what happens when I preach a little bit too long. You know, the Eagles start at 1 o'clock. They're going to lose, but I keep hope alive. So I said, well, I'll go to the store. And I said, well, if I go to the store, I can get in the self-checkout line, and I can get through quicker, Lord willing. So I get the groceries, and I get in the self-checkout line. But then there's one of those moms, those good, kind, nice, those wise moms who love their children so much that they take, you know, little Johnny or Maddie or Megan or whoever, you know, or Darquan, whatever it is, and he's 3 years old, and he can't do nothing, can't pay for the groceries, can't lift the groceries, can't cook the groceries. But see, she wants him to be involved. So because she wants him to be involved, he's got to take the groceries and fumble with them all out the cart, and then go over the scanner 4 and 5 times. Meanwhile, I'm looking at my watch like, I can't act up because I'm still in my church clothes. You ever want to act up, but you in your church clothes? Like, I can't act up. See, the reason she's doing that, because she loves her child. And even though the child is not needed for the work, the child is desired for the work. And then the child will get a reward for work she did that she was not needed for, because the parent loves her. God delights not only in bringing everything into harmonious relationship under one head, Jesus Christ. He delights in using us to do so, even though he does not need us. And then he will reward us for doing so. That's God. Now, as Paul begins to enumerate these blessings, there are a few reasons why this is such a blessing to us now. First of all, we know that this is a complete certainty. God is not wishing that everything will work out. No, God has already worked out everything. He's just drawing it to conclusion, okay?
We wish things will work out. I wish the Eagles would finally win the Super Bowl. I wish the Phillies would have some semblance of a team. Good Lord. I wish it wasn't so hot in Sacramento in the summertime. God does not wish for it to happen. God has already made it happen. He's simply drawing it to conclusion. Secondly, because we know that God is already drawing it to conclusion, we can, listen, dear ones, we can continue to do those things we were called and commissioned to do with the knowledge that they really are counting toward His great and glorious purpose. New City, continue to do what you're doing. Every week, I want to ask you, as you come in and you look at your bulletin, and I know you know it already, look at that mission statement on your bulletin and say, by the grace of God, by the power of the Spirit, by the example of Jesus Christ, I am going to commit myself to continuing this mission because this is exactly what God has called us to do, and it is His passion. Continue to nurture a community in which people from every background will feel not simply invited, but welcome. Continue to speak out and speak up for biblical social justice. Even though for some reason in my denomination, the Presbyterian Church in America, make sure that one's on the tape, it seems somehow that it's now not popular anymore. It seems that every time we begin to mention social justice, I'm preaching to myself because I need the encouragement, the times we mention social justice, we're told, now watch out. You have to watch out because if you don't watch out, you'll be on the slippery slope. And if you start, you know, this speaking of justice, you'll hit the social gospel. When did what Jesus said in Matthew 23, when did the weightier matters of the law all of a sudden become the slippery slope? I didn't get the memo. Continue to do what God has called you to do. Now, thirdly, I want to make this clear. There is no reason for any of us now to refuse the lordship of Jesus Christ right here and right now. The very best thing we can do with our lives right here, right now, is repent of our sins, place our faith in Jesus Christ. The reason that's true is because everything in the fullness of time will be gathered under His complete, glorious, loving leadership and headship. Everything will consist within harmony of His express will. If you've come here this morning, and maybe you didn't want to be here this morning, but someone said, no, please come. They got this cat coming from Cali. He don't know what he's doing, but come on anyway. The songs are going to be real good. The people are real friendly. They might have coffee. It was good coffee, too. My man. But recognize that if you've come here this morning and you have not met Jesus Christ, you have made moral mistakes. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, everybody makes moral mistakes, don't they? Yes, we do. The Bible calls that sin. And there's enough sin that you have done today that will disqualify you from heaven forever. Your biggest need is to be in right relationship with the living God through faith in Christ only, faith in Christ alone. You must repent. You must come to the point in yourself where you realize that you are out of fellowship with God, where you are not in a right relationship with God, and that you have to believe in Christ only and Christ alone. You have to believe that you need a perfect moral right standing, and the only way to get that is to believe that Jesus lived a perfectly sinless life for you, that He did anything and everything that you would ever need to do to be commended for the Father and to stand before the Father holy and blameless. And then He went to the cross and took the sin of all of His people. All of the stuff that you ever did, that you will ever do, that will disqualify you from participating in this glorious fellowship from all forever, Jesus Christ died for that sin. And then He rose again from the grave, proving that the Father accepted His sinless life, that the Father accepted His sacrificial death, and that the Father has now made good on His promise to bring everything in heaven and earth under one head, Jesus Christ. The very best thing that we could do with our lives is repent of our sin and place our faith in Jesus Christ. But there's another reason, because listen, given all of the resources that you could muster and manage together, We could never, ever plan and fulfill a destiny as glorious, as joyful, as satisfying as the one the living God has already planned and fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. If there's one place you want to be in all eternity, is in that place where all of creation will stand together under the harmonious rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can plan no better future for yourself. Soul than that. And of course, like all of these blessings, as revealed in Ephesians 1, the blessing of the knowledge of what God is doing and what God is going to do is intimately and inseparably tied to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Paul moves through this passage, he uses the word mystery. In a way that's different from the way we use the word, we usually use the word mystery. Paul uses the word mystery to alert us to something that God always planned, gave glimpses of in Scripture, but has now revealed fully. Along with that, God's mystery is something that on our own, we would never figure out. Some of you who are my age, plus 50, maybe a little bit younger, you may have grown up playing a game called Clue. And in the game called Clue, you basically had to figure out who killed Mr. Mustard, or one of the characters, what room they killed him in, and what weapon they used. Okay? And you use different clues to decipher that. Well, that's how we usually use the word mystery. But in Scripture, mystery is something that God has already planned, that he is now revealed fully in and through Jesus Christ, and that we would never guess on our own. He uses this word, in fact, frequently in Ephesians chapter 3 to reveal what he's done with the family groups of the earth. And as I said, that mystery as written here in verses 9 and 10 is to gather all of creation into one harmonious unit under the direct lordship of Jesus Christ. It means all created beings. Listen to the word of God from Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. It means all created objects. Listen again to the word of God from Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. One of the blessings of living in California is the beauty of the left coast. You know, you drive down I-95 in the East Coast and it's I-95. My wife and I were blessed to drive up to Washington State, northwest, actually Washington State, a couple of hours north of Seattle for my cousin's wedding in July. And do you ever see those car commercials, dear ones, where they have them kind of on a private road and they're just driving and winding around and you see the mountains, the trees, you see the reflection of the mountains on the water and the cars all alone? We had a few of those moments. I said, "Wow, this is like one of those car commercials." I said, "We got a 2009 Ford, but praise God." But this is like one of those car commercials. And it was beautiful, breath breathtakingly beautiful. I mean, it was so beautiful, I wanted to stop and get out and take a picture, but my wife wouldn't like stopping in the middle of the road, so I had to keep going. Think of the continued bounty and beauty of this fallen, sin-marked, ruined world. And then if we can, just imagine what a new heaven and a new earth, completely in line with the will of God, in harmonious union with all of God's people under the headship of Jesus Christ, will be like. I want to see that, Jack. So what does this mean again? Well, it means that all thoughts, all motives, all words, and all actions will be brought into harmonious union with the single, listen, with the single purpose of worshiping, delighting in, loving, and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that at the time of God's choosing, every single square molecule of this universe will finally, fully, and eternally exist to do the one thing for which it was created, which is to glorify its creator, our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, from the scriptures, Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace by the blood of his cross. What does that mean for us now that I'm going to close? Our witness, specifically that witness of biblically driven racial reconciliation and biblically driven social justice matters. It matters because as we go about doing those God-ordained, clearly expressed scriptural mandates, we point people to the world that is to come. It matters because if someone was up here, we got a cameraman here today, whoop, there it is. If he took a picture of you all and people ask, how did this happen? We could say this happened because he happened. Because what this is simply a sample foretaste of what is going to happen. Example. It is God's express will to bring people just like us into a harmonious worshiping relationship with him through faith in Jesus alone and Jesus only. People who are just like us, who left on our own, we are poor, impoverished, powerless, spiritual refugees, spiritual orphans, spiritual widows. This is why we take so seriously, and I've read the Bible about this a few times, we take so seriously God's commands to love, care for, speak up for, protect, and gather the physically poor, powerless, refugee, immigrant, fatherless, and vulnerable women into our fellowship. We do so as a command and as an expression of the passion of the living God. Listen again to the word of God. I'm going to read from Isaiah 1, verses 15 through 18. Many of us will recognize verse 18, but listen to what's said before that. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red, like crimson, they shall be like wool. What sins was he just talking about, dear ones? When we go about the business of advocating for, speaking up for, loving, caring for the poor, the powerless, the vulnerable, the oppressed, we point to the one who had the ultimate privilege and gave that up for us. We point to the one who gave up his riches of his own perfect permanent right standing that he had earned and gave it to us as a free gift. We point to the one who tells the immigrant and the refugee, you have a home now here with me. We point to the one who says, I will be the covering and the one who loves and cares for the widow and the vulnerable woman. We point to the one who those who look to who are oppressed an object of unjust treatment, who looked to him and says, no, I will be the one that takes you into myself. We point to the gospel of Jesus Christ because on our own, we don't have access to it. We don't have the privilege. We don't have the muster. We don't have what it takes to get what we need. And so therefore, we preach about the one who was born poor, who lived among the poor, who served the poor, and who loved the poor. Lastly, we know that it's God's express will to bring people from the diverse family groups of humanity into one harmonious, multi-ethnic worshiping community called the church. We read from, I believe, the top of Psalm 67 this morning is our call to worship, a call to worship in which the nations, the family groups, are called to come and to give God praise. Why is it that it was the express will of the living God to bring forth different family groups out of the one race that belonged to Adam? His express will in doing that was to bring us together under the cross because it pleases him to do so. It pleases him to see people of every tongue and tribe and people and ethnicity and language and nation together. Listen again, once more. A little bit further in Paul's letter, chapter 3 to the Ephesians, beginning at verse 4. Here's what he said. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel. What gospel? The gospel of reconciliation, grace in Jesus Christ. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. Saints of New City, I'm done. By the grace of God, I just simply want to encourage you to continue the work that God has called you to do. Through difficulty, through trouble, through weariness, yet and with the joys and victories that he gives. Don't give up. Don't give in. Know that what you are doing is simply a small taste of what the living God is going to do when he gathers all of humanity and all of creation in, under the one head, Jesus Christ, and we will live and love with him throughout all of our eternity. Lord God, words cannot do justice to this passage and to what you're doing among us. Our prayer is that we would read these words from Paul, that they would sink deeply into our hearts, and that we would simply thank you for doing what you're doing, because apart from your work in our lives, our world will continue to spiral down into chaos. Give us the power to remain faithful to do what you have called us to do, so that you might get glory now and forever. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.